This is Risa West interviewing Mr. Jack Benson on November the 15th, 2000.
You guys, were you trying to major when I did the show down to Florida, to Atlanta?
Okay.
That
was, yeah.
Okay.
I was here after that.
Okay.
The first question is, how did you get started in movement? Which had an influence on your
influence? I always wanted to play for a little bit. I knew about Berklee School of Music and Juilliard and all that back when I was in probably the ninth grade. I'd read about those. I really wanted to play trumpet for a little. So that was kind of the start of it. All during high school, my plans were to leave and get a music performance degree in higher education, which sometimes I didn't get to study.
So how, you've been playing the trumpet, right? Mm-hmm. How long have you been performing with the trumpet?
I started playing when I was in the sixth grade. Started playing professionally in high school, actually, with some local, local bands, Bobby Chitty, guys like that, that had some local bands and played jazz bands and things like that. And then I guess I consider professionally when you get paid.
Yeah. How would you describe the style of music that you involved in? Is it like rock and roll, jazz, or any particular style?
My background is jazz. That's what is mainly in Berklee. Mm-hmm. I went to Berklee School of Music in Boston, Massachusetts. And that's their main for us there is jazz. But there's a lot of, but you gotta realize this was a long time ago. This was 1974. So I went to two schools before that. Florida State University and in 72, and then I wanted to go to Nashville, Tennessee to see if I could break into the recording industry. So I went to a school there called Peabody College, right across from Vanderbilt. And but in 74, it was jazz rock, if you want to call it that. It's not even anything like it looks today.
Mm-hmm.
But then I moved in when I played professionally, I just got moved into more of the, if you want to call it the Motown type stuff, the Diana Ross, Michael mm-hmm. Jackson type stuff, so R&B, Motown, but you take what you can get. But I like all the stuff. I mean, I study the classics, I study, which I'm not a real big fan of. I love to listen to it. I hate the play. It's boring, in my opinion. I know a lot of the brass players, and which mainly for violins and strings, so, but the only was a good learning experience. Theory-wise, it's really boring and handcuffs you as far as what you can write, because if I had I had two majors, one trumpet, professional trumpet, and arranging and composition, so I was a writer too, and I might be a little more expressive than to be chained to certain classical things I have to do.
Can you describe your musical career so far, like what have you done, who you play with, okay. That sort of thing?
Let's see, besides the things in high school, local dance bands and things like that, when I went to, after I graduated Berklee, actually I came home just for a short time, Woody Leonard, which I was in high school with Woody, he played trombone, and he went to Auburn University, and he called me up. There's a kind of famous Auburn band in the area called the Auburn Knights. It's a school jazz band, dance band, and they lost their lead trumpet player, and he called me and asked if I could fill in for a reunion. I said, great, it'd be fun. So I went over there, and my upbringing as far as professional trumpet was, I had to learn how to sight read first time, every time, not make a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really, if you make a mistake in the professional world, it's funny the first time. If you make another mistake, you've got a plane ticket home. So that was, it was a lot of pressure, but that was what I wanted to do. And I had a purpose of, really play the job. And after the dance that night, and then during the evening, the secretary of the musicians union for Atlanta was also an alumni, guy named Jimmy Taylor. And he heard me, and the audience came up and gave me his card and said, if you're ever in Atlanta and like to play, come by and I'll do my best to help you. So I said, great, I'll be there. So when I got home, I stayed home for here for about 3 or 4 days until I went to Atlanta and went to the musicians union. I joined the union, had to do that, and told him, I said, well, I'm here and I need some help. So he gave me a list of about 10 names of contractors that are in the music world. It's kind of like building a house. You've got a contractor that has a crew, and he hires the same crew as long as they do a good job. Well, in the music industry, it's the same thing. There are contractors that bid for tours, and they have a crew that they use, and you know, they'll use like 3 trumpets, 2 trombones, saxes, woodwinds, flutes, all that, and then they'll have strings they use. And if they get a contract or a tour, then they're probably not going to go for how long. And so, he gave me a list of about 10 contractors. I called every single one of them. I told them who I was, where I went to school, which Berklee is school of music is kind of a prestigious music school. So, you know, I was thinking, well, you know, they'll hear me from Berklee, so I'll put some money out there. Well, I did all that, but I was here in Atlanta to play. And not a one of them called me back.
Oh,
and I went back to Jimmy and I said, you know, I don't know what's going on, but I called all 10 of them. It's been 3 or 4 days and nobody's called. He said, well, did you tell them that I said to call? And I said, well, no. He said, well, call every one of them back, tell them that I said for you to call. I said, okay. So I called all of them back and said, this is Jack. And I went on there. I said, now I just want to make sure that you know, Jimmy Taylor asked me to call. And I said, okay. And then like about an hour later, I got a phone call. And so they were saying, it's not what you know, it's who you know. So I got a phone call. And I was thinking, you know, I'm used to rock band, some little local rock band or something, man, that's playing around that area. So I got a phone call and they said, maybe we'd like to use you. Go to Birmingham, Alabama, Saturday night. This is like in 2 nights. And for the Civic Center, be there this time, and there's a rock band that you can play with. I said, okay. I'm thinking some little local rock band. I wasn't excited. And I said, right, I got to play for this song, you know, dance band. We would go to some rock band and get $100 or so. And I showed up, and it was a group called the Spinners. And I didn't know anything about them. You know, it's, I guess, a Motown band. And I showed up at Civic Center for rehearsal, met the guys, met the lead trumpet player, which he's the guy who listens to you and decides whether you're in or out. And the guitar player for the Spinners, well, they don't travel with us. We're union people, contracted, they have their own family, buses, and whatever. And their guitar player was late for the rehearsal, so he said, okay, we're not going to have a rehearsal, just be here at like 10:30 tonight. You know, touch ceiling and all that, and we play. Because we were like the backup. And we had like 3 trumpets, 2 bells, and 5 saxes. And so I said, well, can I take the music home? I went to the hotel and find out. I can play this and learn a little bit. I said, no, you don't need it. So I went back and I came back and they just told me, I said, the conductor, when he lifts his hands up, be ready to go. Because he doesn't count off, he doesn't say anything, he just lifts his hands up, looks, and gives you a napkin. That's it. Mm-hmm. So I said, okay, I want. So I got back, opened my music up, sat down, he walks out on stage, he listens to him, and I put my hand up, ready to go, and I sing anything. All I look for was the key signature, and I made it there. And really, he started, I played. And I guess that excitement, and learning to do a great job, and I played real well. I didn't miss anything. And halfway through the show, the lead trumpet player looked at me, he's in the middle. I was playing third, my side would start out, and another guy on the other side, he was playing second. So he says, good, you know, good job, you're doing great, good. And he started switching music for me to play the lead, to see if I could play the lead part. And the next song that I didn't know what it was, and I said, no, that's okay. And I started to give it back to him, and I saw, his name is Maurice King, I saw Maurice raise his hand. seconds. I knew what that meant. We were back to grade. So I just put it down and I played that lead chart. And after it was over, we turned to put it in front of me. He said, he grabbed his music. He said, okay. He said, you're in.
Wow.
I said, and so I was basically in that little, that group of players that were based out of Atlanta, New York. And then my next call was next week to go in a Jackson's tour. They were the Jackson 5, and that was before Michael Jackson left me, Michael Jackson. I did it, that was for a year. And it was fun when you're young. On the road, you know, and then you get sleep. And, you know, it plays real well. And then I get back home, back to Atlanta, and that's where we were staying, and we got another call, I think. Michael Jackson was the first one, and then we did some things like going to like Disney World, Carowinds, and Six Flags, different places like that, to play a couple of days. So we did the Spinners, Michael Jackson, let's see, Blue Rouse. Then I got a call to play the Atlanta, it was called the Atlanta Cool Jazz Festival at the old Fulton County Stadium that was still there. And that was the Temptations, right there. Then went on tour for a year and a half with Diana Ross, played in Las Vegas, we ended up in Las Vegas. Matter of fact, we're on an old show on HBO.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. I got a copy of HBO. And then, yes. And then and during that time, when we played, it's like a little, and this is the wrong word, it's like a little mafia type thing when you're playing for a contractor. He has great jobs for you, and he has terrible jobs for you. Which means you got to drive 7 hours up in the mountains somewhere to play for some dance man that he's good friends with. Like, you know, the new Tommy Dorsey band, the new Glenn Miller band. So they just keep those bands going. And they're like a 4-hour dance job. And all the people come up that, you know, 70, 80 or so, and say, I saw you, you know, a month ago. I love getting you. And you have to say, yes, ma'am, or yes, sir. Because you know you're never there. But you have to get that position. But you got to act like you've been in that band for 10 years. And so you have to do those. And those don't pay a whole bunch. What you do, if you don't do them, the reason I'm saying it's a little mafia type thing, if you do not do those jobs, you're out. You'll never get caught again. Mm-hmm. And the word will spread that you won't do those jobs, along with the great paying jobs, and you won't work. So, you just do it. You have to do it. But there's no good jobs and all bad jobs. But moving on, I played with all those small bands. One of the worst times I ever had was with a lady called Nita Bryant. This Hans Juice lady, a long time ago. If anybody's older listening to this, they'll know who she is. That was a terrible job. Phobos, Teddy from the Grass, I can't remember. There's a lot of bands, a lot of the tour stuff. Mitchell Jones, and then I came home, I got tired. My next tour, I did play with the OJs, and my next tour after about 12 years of doing all that was to go to Japan with the OJs for like a year and a half, all in the European area. And I was so burnt out, I said, no, I'm through. I can't go. And that was like the kiss of death in the music industry. And so I would have never gotten called again, but I was through. And so I wanted to come home and start my own band. But during that time, before I started my own band, I played with a guy named Russ Taff, a contemporary Christian singer. He had a brand new album called Walls of Glass. And I played with him for a year, and that was really nice, enjoyable, great people. But you gotta realize there's a difference in being, that tastes like my own. You gotta realize if you're in the traveling during that period, there's a lot of drugs on the road. I never got involved in that. There's a lot of partying going on. I never got really heavily into it. And it's just a different feeling when you're around that, especially when you're on a bus. We had our own tour bus, bands and TVs and all that kind of stuff. But when the bus driver stops, you see them stop the bus and you're in your bunk. See, and you wake up and see him, you know, a couple of rows of cocaine on the table, and snorted, he's your bus driver.
Oh my God.
It's a little scary feeling, especially since you're not into that. So that's the kind of the feeling we got on the road. There's a lot of that going on. And then we get into a group of guys, particularly Christian guys, that are pretty nice guys, mm-hmm. straightforward guys. It's a relief sometimes. That's the thrill of going out and playing professionally. That's what it was for me. I wanted to make it. You know, and then once you've made it after 10 or 12, 13 years, it's like, you know, is that all there is? Is there something else? So you gotta move to something else. And then, make a long story short, is that after I came back, I started my own band to play a lot of universities, a dance band, kind of a fun band. And it was called a Union Blues Band. We started here. Actually, I got a lot of musicians from BSU.
Really?
And that's another story of how I met my wife, which is an interesting story. That was fun. It was a lot. We bought our own Greyhound bus and gutted it out and put the beds and the couches and the TVs. And we toured the universities. Okay, we did it back when the Blues Brothers movie was out. We kind of looked like that. Sunglasses, we wore black, and we had so much fun. And we played fraternities and sororities and universities, and it was like 10 or 12 people, one band, five horns. It was just fun. And then, but there was no girls in the band, because the old saying is, if a girl gets in the band, somebody's going to like her, and then somebody else is going to like her, and they're going to get mad, and the band's going to break up. That's the answer. So there was a friend of mine and several of the guys in the band was rehearsing. She would come out of rehearsal. She was a great singer. And it was Lori. And we all knew her. And after she just kind of rehearsed with us to have fun. And everybody wanted, about 40 guys wanted to be in the band, sing back up and sing some music. And I said, no. I said, there's a good friend of mine. I like her. I don't want her in the band. But sometimes they'll laugh, and that's going to laugh, and we don't get mad, and we're trying to do this band to go somewhere, and it's going to break up. So if I said, no, we want us, I said, okay, I'll call her, which I started the band, I'll call her and tell her she can get in the band, but she cannot date anybody in the band. So I called her up and told her that. She said, fine, I don't want to date anybody in the band. I just want to sing, that's all I want. Well, after about a year, Missy started liking the world. So we had a breakdown, but we quit the ball at the golf course here. And I had a job there the night before. So I told her to be there at a certain time, but it was an hour early that I told her about that. So I sat in the car with her, and so I broke the news to her. I thought about her that he shopped her, and she basically just pulled away from me. But eventually we started liking each other, and behind everybody's back, we were dating. Nobody else knew, and you gotta realize there were a couple other guys kind of starting to like her, and kind of, you know, flirting around with her and everything. And so we started, they found out, and they got mad, and guess what? The man broke up. But that's okay, when I got married, we, you know.
It's all fine.
It's okay. So that's how I lived my life for a week, so it was like, and then that kind of ended our career, and we moved into some other areas. That's my convenience version of our musical career.
Okay. Let's see. So what are you currently doing now?
We work with a company out of California. It's a nutritional weight loss. We got into the health industry. Started liking it and moved in further and further. So we
did
it. It's called Star Labs International. Weight loss, nutrition.
Yeah.
And we do that out of the home. And direct sales type thing. It's fun. It really is.
Do you have any plans or goals for the future? Not necessarily with music, but just in general.
Yeah. I mean, I'm always changing. I guess when you go in music, especially playing for a living, it's like a situation that there's no security.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't. I mean, really, I've seen guys make mistakes and they will not go the next day. And so you kind of get used to that. So you just, I guess you're open to doing a lot of things and not scared of doing anything. And, you know, me, I would like to do some other things personally, you know, and I don't know what that is. But I've got a lot of things that I like. I like the telecommunications area. I mean, I like, there's nothing wrong with making money as long as it's handled correctly. And I enjoy making money. And that's a goal, you know, and I believe if you set your, you know, you're helping other people make some money too. And whatever area that takes me in, I like doing that. Because we do well with what we're doing. We've got some people that work really, in our group that do extremely well. And you see people's lives change, and that's fun.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, both my wife and I are stubborn, so we kind of clash sometimes. So I don't mind going off and let her run that business and then look for something else and start it. I guess it's just the thrill of starting something mm-hmm. and seeing it done. You know, maybe that's a bad thing. What lets you do it? And you get tired of it sometimes and you look for something else. So that's kind of how I am. I have to control that. I don't want to be too flabby.
Yeah. Can you describe the most memorable experience of moving students, if you have just one?
besides getting married. I guess probably that first job, knowing that that's the best I've ever played. And I worked for that for so many years. When I lived in Berkeley, I probably got maybe 3 hours of sleep a night because I practiced. Sometimes I learned it so bad that when I was in the dorm, we had practice rooms all our dorm floors. And I would take my pillow and alarm clock and my trumpet, and I would go over there and practice for a couple hours and lay down on the floor and get some sleep for an hour or 30 minutes. And the alarm clock rings, I said, and I'll practice again. But I learned it so bad. I wanted to make sure I was one of the best, and I did it.
Mm-hmm.
But when I finally did that first thing in Birmingham with the Steelers, that's the best I've ever played because I wanted to get in. I knew that was it. So that's kind of memorable right there. That's quite a few.
That's
quite an
interesting line. What inspires you to keep up in the music? Anything that keeps you going with music?
That's a nice question because I don't do a lot of music except with Lyle's band, which I left out a lot. During that period, I worked with Lyle's High School
mm-hmm.
and wrote the music for the band and taught the brass players. And I did that because I enjoyed the students. It's fun working with them and kind of giving back. And they kind of keep you young, too.
Yeah.
And then, also, before the thing that we did with the weight loss company that we were in, we opened a clothing store. So I went through a clothing store situation where I had two clothing stores in different malls, one in the Austin Mall and the Army Mall. So I went through that. But as far as keeping up with music, lounge is the only thing I really do. I played for so much, so stressful, constantly into it. When I stopped playing in the band that I met my wife, I stopped listening to music. I didn't want to hear anything. I didn't listen to the radio. I shut the radio off, okay. Except when my wife was in there. But I didn't listen to anything because I was so burnt out. That was it. And I'm just starting to listen to a little bit of music. After so many years, it's been a long time. I just don't, unless it's for Lyle's to write some music for them. It's a great job that I'm trying to figure some things out of pleasure. I'm going to be honest with you, there's not a whole bunch I listen to. I don't listen to any jazz anymore. I get too intellectual into it and start thinking about it. It's really tough. Now, I do listen to some old 50s type stuff and 60s music. You know, I listen to that. I would enjoy it. And that's about it.
Oh, really?
I'm sure my age.
Do you have, this is my last question, any major achievements or awards you
want to make kind of
award?
I guess through high school, different awards mm-hmm. for music. I worked at Austin High, I was like moving chapter. I worked at Troy State University my first year, I won some awards for my scholarship there in music. And then went to Peabody College and got some awards there. Just different kinds, I guess. I guess you lose, you don't think about it. You know, I lose track.
So you want to be interesting questions, yeah. Some of them I think I can answer for myself.
Okay.
Your place and date are fine. If you don't mind, you don't have to if you don't want to.
You're in Mount Rasta.
Mm-hmm.
June 9th, 1954. Mm-hmm. 46.
Your size of family, I guess that means like the kids or...
Wife and two children.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 24-year-old son.
I know you have a little girl.
I have 13, just turned 13. Mm-hmm.
I see her around the family.
And I keep that there about music. No, I really do it a little bit, but I don't... My son started talking about playing guitar, so that's it. Do it for some. I enjoy what you cannot make a living in this community. You're open out there. It's a doggy dog world. I tell myself, unless you want to live in New York or Los Angeles, you're not going to make a good living there. You know, unless you become one of these wild birds that, makes it.
Your ethnic heritage. Do you have any, like, besides American, you know? I guess you mean for like English.
I guess my
like European
English, or English French, I guess. Yeah, there's some English on my Vincent side, and there's some French on my Pierce DELIC is my other side.
Okay.
And who knows, I might be some bad
guy. Okay, thank you.
Never mind. I don't know about you. I'm not afraid to
discover. Let's see. You already told me your education was pretty attractive. Do you attend church or have some religious?
We've been attending New Covenant of Flam, and we've kind of looked south from. My belief is Christian, but then again, I'm open as far as I don't go to a church like a Presbyterian church, unless I may not like it.
So you're non-denominational?
Yeah, I may not like it, but I may not like a certain preacher. I don't look at the denomination. I go to any church as long as it's, in my opinion, that it's that the word of God is being preached correctly. Mm-hmm. I like them all.
Do you have any hobbies?
Yes, horses. I own some horses. And I show horses. Morgan horses. I love baseball, I love softball, I love golf.
My boyfriend's trying to teach me to play golf.
Yeah.
I think you need to all these other ones. And you're going to be so fun. So I think that's all. I really need you to move over this. It's like giving permission that I am going to do.
Okay.
And sign it and stuff.